Welcome to the Fittest Podcast in Oakland, where your favorite coaches talk everything to help make you a better person inside and outside the gym. Back with the Fittest Podcast in Oakland. And this week, we're taking the perfect test of strength. We're going to find out what's missing. How strong are we? And what we should be working on to get stronger, to feel stronger, to get out of pain, and to make our body more amazing. So sit back, listen up, and get ready to learn on this week's episode of the Fittest Podcast in Oakland.
Robin always fails this test. So much fun for me. I just sit here and I wait in silence.
Until I have never been able to play this game.
Until she just bursts. Usually I get to catch the outrageous statement. Today I luckily did not catch the outrageous statement. You can all thank me later.
Didn't happen if you didn't record it.
So.
All right.
But it's okay. We still love Robin anyway.
Aw. So much love. I'm just looking up the what we're talking about today. We need to know what we're talking about today. Hopefully you know, Ben.
I think I do.
Okay.
I'm slightly worried because this is probably going to be one of those podcasts where Robin just asks me questions.
Probably.
Which is good.
No, I got it. Okay.
But also going to be kind of funny.
All right. So you want me to start with the hook?
Sure.
Remember the hook?
I do.
Want to reach? Ben, would you like to reach your fitness goals and prevent and relieve and or relieve aches and pains? Reach your fitness goals and no aches and pains? Wow. That means increased performance plus reduced risk of injury equals peak health and fitness. How do you get it? I say, get tested.
We really need to work on Robin's late night infomercial voice. It's not here today. She's got a voice for radio, but not late night infomercial. No. Grab people.
Does it need to be lower? Want to reach your fitness goals and prevent? No.
I mean, like undulation. Creepier. You see how this has waves when we record? Oh. Yours was very flat.
I'm very flat.
Your tone was somewhat monotone.
Well, you don't want me to have more coffee, so I don't know what else I can do.
Run around.
Run around and do a workout. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to talk about testing. 1, 2, 3.
Yes. And how strength balance testing can get you out of pain, get you performing better in the gym, and get you reaching your fitness goals all in one.
It's amazing. It's almost like a magic pill.
Well, it's the aptitude test. It's the check engine test. It's the run all the computer functions and see what's broken.
Diagnostics.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it. All right.
And so what we often struggle with in the gym is figuring out where we should put our efforts and our focus. Because to be honest, there's too many darn things to focus on. One of our favorite clients who's trying to make further gains in the sport of CrossFit laughs and jokes with me, somewhat whines about there's too much to do all the time, Ben, and I don't know what to do next. And I have way too much room for improvement. And it's like, yeah, that's okay though.
Well, I get really excited about this. As you know, I wanted to make a big deal about it because mm-hmm. I don't know about you. I think a lot of people are, they wouldn't do it, but I am a sucker for those take this quiz on the interwebs, right? Like we were talking about the supplement company. We should probably post on that too, by the way.
Yep.
That we get a discount through CrossFit. And it's a really good one. But there's a lot of products and they very wisely have all these quizzes you can take. And I'm just like, let me take all of them. I don't need any of this stuff. I'm gonna take all these quizzes. Or the what's the the big BuzzFeed, the quizzes. They're so dumb. But when I just want like mindless entertainment, go and take those quizzes. Find out how much of a Harry Potter fan are you really, or whatever. Like, I love taking those quizzes. And the more serious ones, like all the personality tests. Do you have a personality disorder tests? You know, are you an alcoholic? One of my favorite ones. Like, they have these quizzes you can take for right or wrong. I think they're really fun to take. So this is one of those, I mean, more serious, I think. I'm going to take it a little more seriously, but it's so satisfying to customize results to yourself and find out more about yourself. I think that's really exciting. So to me, that's what strength balance testing is. It's like, we all know CrossFit makes you fit. We all know coming to the gym, sleeping, all the stuff we talk about all makes you fit. But specifically to me, where should I be spending my time? Where should I be making a little more effort? How can I personally customly be better? And this will help you. I think that's really exciting. And there's a spreadsheet. I mean, it's like, it could not get better. So I'm glad we're talking about this.
And that's the key, is it's figuring out not what you're bad at, not even what you're good at. It's figuring out where, if you focused, you'd make the most progress.
Yeah.
And that's what's cool, because I joked with a client last night when we tested front squats, and they're like, well, why don't we do back squats? And I just looked at them and I smiled and I laughed and I went, oh, you mean like we're going to do in 2 weeks? And they're like, oh yeah.
Well, there'll definitely be things we're not going to test. Mm-hmm. So that question will come up a lot, and we can answer it during this podcast. But yeah, I mean, first of all, you can't test every little thing. You can, but it would take the whole year. Yeah.
Well, and the funny thing is, for this person, they just know they're better at back squats. And so they were upset with how front squats were going. So they're like, let's just do back squats. And I'm like, that might be your sign.
Like, why does the SAT have to have a math section? I mean, why can't it just be all verbal?
And I am sure there are plenty of you listening going, Robin, I would much rather just have the math section than the verbal section.
I might be even dating myself with that test. We even take that test anymore.
Some people do.
I got it.
But, and that's the whole key and the beauty of this, is when we start to figure out where things might be off or where things are lacking, for lack of better terminology, we can now start to pinpoint and hit those things to improve the things we actually enjoy. That's the cool thing about this, is it's not a, you have to do X, you have to do Y. It's more a, hey, if instead you focus on X and Y, Z will get better. And you're like, huh? What do you mean? It's where I've had coaches that have taken people themselves and teams through front squat cycles where they did not deadlift once. They just did front squats and some other lifts and things like that, but no focused deadlifts. Guess what happened to their deadlift?
I'm going to say it got better.
It got better.
Yeah.
Got better. Because they already knew the skill. They knew how to deadlift. They knew what they were doing, but they fixed a bunch of other stuff and got stronger. All of a sudden, boom. And I think for most of us, if we could do the least amount possible and get the most bang or return, we would.
Yeah. And also, this is to serve our population. Most of our clients don't have hours and hours and hours to spend at the gym to do all of the things they need to do to get better. Mm-hmm. That this is not their job. You know, so how much can we take advantage of the time that you do spend at the gym to get you personally the most bang for your buck?
Exactly.
We can't change the class programming for each individual person, even though you guys ask us to a lot. But we can help with this kind of, like I said, hone in on that, those customized things, so you get the more out of your very limited time here. We wish we could have you all day long. We wish they were all that one guy that we aren't going to name that is here at Open Gym in the morning, takes a class, comes back for open. Does he take a second class?
No.
So yeah, that's awesome. And I think it's just because of circumstances in his life that he's able to do that. But he's like, I'm going to pack as much as I can into this time. But, you know, at a lesser extent, that's everybody. That's all of us. Even us coaches. You guys think because we work here that we work out all day, and we probably take less time to work out than you do. So we also get a lot of advantage out of these tests. This is test. You're doing the test too, right, mm-hmm. Ben? And so am I. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. I was going to say, let's get into the test. But if you have something else to say, say.
And the biggest key here is not like, don't do X, don't do Y. It's, hey, you realize if you fixed that thing over there, all the things you love and enjoy would get better. Also, at the same time, the achy knee that you have, the sore back that you constantly have, the shoulder that won't let you sleep at night, the wrist that gives you pains in weird times, the elbow that's constantly inflamed, the right foot that just seems to not cooperate, you name it. If we start to look at these things and go, wait a minute, there's a pattern here, or wait a minute, this is massively different than this, we can start to correct all those things. And that's what's cool, is it's not like, hey, you got to go to the doctor, you got to go do these many hours of PT, you got to change your entire diet, and you got to sleep more and this and that. It's like, well, what if we just took it from this exercise to this exercise and did that repeatedly until this got fixed? I think a lot of us would do it.
Some of these specifics, because I know you guys want to hear specifics. We're not going to be able to get to all of them. So before we go any farther, I want to say, you know, the results you get, if you are smart enough to take these tests and record, you might not be able to interpret them. You might need a little help. So please set up time with us and we can help you interpret these results. So I just want to put that out there at the beginning in case you stop listening. But yeah, so
I'll give a quick example on that. Last night, I'm working with a client, same client who wanted to back squat instead of front squat.
Okay. Got it.
And this might be why. They were struggling with their front rack and their wrists were hurting.
Yeah.
The barbell was, no kidding, in their fingertips. Like, I'm looking at my hand and you know that last line before the tip of your finger? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure the bar was at least on that line, if not closer to the edge of my finger. And so when I talked to them, I adjusted their front rack and I moved it more into almost like into their palm, legitimately. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, elbows were a little low. So I stretched them up and I held them there for a half second. And then I was like, okay, step back. And they could hold it. Not for long, but they could hold it. And then they did a couple squats. The bar started to slip a little bit. And then they put the bar back. And I go, okay, what's going on? What do you think? And I'm like, well, it's really hard to keep it like that. And I go, okay, why do you think that? And they instantly went to shoulder mobility. And I go, there's a chance there, but did you notice how you got in that position? And they were like, yeah. So you got the range of motion, you can get there. You just don't want to stay there. Mm-hmm. And so that's more of a strength component. And this is where Robin's talking about it, of like, hey, sometimes you need someone to interpret the data a little bit further for you. It's not only take the blood test, it's take the blood test and realize, wow, you are taking vitamin D and you're taking enough of it, but you're still deficient. Somehow, some way, you're not processing what's going on there. Mm-hmm. So you have to fix the processing. This is the same way with that front squat. If I fix and strengthen the position of the shoulder, and I think for this person, it's just saying, hey, don't put the bar on your fingertips, put the bar in your hand and squat like that. All of a sudden, all their hatred for front squats will go away.
That's a really interesting example for two reasons. One is, it's a very common cue to let the bar roll back into your fingertips. That's a really common cue. Like push your knees out in a squat. Mm-hmm. And those are those cues that may work for the person that needs them, but it could be detrimental for the person that doesn't need them. So if your knees are tracking perfectly over your toes and you push them out, you're going to be outside the right range of motion or motor pattern for your squat. And the same thing with that. If you're death clawing that bar, then we say, open your hands, let it roll back. That's an appropriate cue for that person, but it wouldn't be for your person, you know? So it's really tricky, and be really careful when you hear a cue for someone else, or even our coaches that are new that might be playing with these cues. You know, we caution you very much to be very careful about the cues you give to someone, because it could be, they don't need that cue. They need something else. So that's number one, be careful with those cues, that you hear somebody else get. And you apply to yourself. It's not necessary. That's why these tests are so great, because it's custom to you. And number two, the wrist thing. It's almost never the wrist That's the problem. I hear this a lot with overhead too. Overhead squats, overhead, you know, it's like, or my knees. It's not usually your knee that's the problem. It's usually something else. So yeah, it might seem obvious to you, but it might not be what you think it is. So let us help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's what's cool about this test is now we start to figure out what that is.
And you don't have to just trust us. You'll actually have numbers in a spreadsheet. I put little quote bunny ears around trust us. Obviously, we want you to trust us. We know we have to earn that. But this is cold, hard numbers, right?
Well, and it's not taking Robin's word. It's not taking Ben's word on this. It's looking at, this is what you did. Okay, where do we go from here? How do we get better? What do we change? What do we work on? Yeah. And for a lot of people, that's like, oh, now I see the forest from the trees, right? And they can see the bigger picture and go, okay, now I can change here and here. And pretty soon you're like, oh, this makes sense why my back hurts. This makes sense why my knee hurts. Or, oh, wow, this is why my shoulders hurt all the time because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah. So we're going to get into, and this is not an exhaustive list of testing. I mean, again, we have to kind of keep it to a reasonable number. Even this number, it's going to take us a couple months to get mm-hmm. through all these because we don't want to just coming in and testing every day, right? We're still going to be doing our regular fitnessing. So, but you will see these, as I say, sprinkled in to the programming. So take advantage. If you can't come on today, I had someone today. I don't know when we're releasing this, but today was the deadlift 5 test. And, I have a client that comes Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but booked their one-on-one today so that we could do this test.
Perfect.
So if you miss one, take advantage, book your one-on-one. If you're out of one-on-ones, you can do extra one-on-ones. I promise you. We'll charge you a nominal fee, but you will get to come in and do another one-on-one if you'd like to do that. So please take advantage of this. If you miss one of them and you want to fill up that spreadsheet like I do, try to do these under supervision with your coach. It's a little, or in a group class. It's a little, you're going to get more out of it than if you try to do it on your own.
Yep.
Yeah. It's doable. I'm just
doable.
Saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into the nitty gritty. So mm-hmm. we're starting with the compound movements.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're the programmer, so I don't know the answer. Are we going to finish all the compound movements before we move on, or are we going to mix them up a little bit?
We're going to mix them up a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, cool.
One, because it'll be more fun. Two, some of these movements we have to practice a little bit because we don't do them regularly. And I want to make sure they're kind of intermixed
okay.
in there.
All right. So in no particular order, let's go over them. You start wherever you want, Ben.
So let's do compound movements. So basically okay. what this means is it's multiple muscle groups, multiple joints moving through one movement pattern. Basically, we're compounding things that could go wrong or go right. I shouldn't say that way. I shouldn't go, but I always like to go wrong part.
Well, these are all of them are, but these are extremely functional movements
yeah.
that you will see daily almost, you know. The squat is a sit down, stand up, right?
The first four on here we do, I mean, they got to be 75% of the time.
Yeah. Some form or another.
Yep. So it is the back squat, the deadlift, the front squat, the shoulder press. And the last one we do is the muscle clean. That's the one we do different variations of the clean.
Mm-hmm.
So we just got to tweak that and practice that a little bit more. But that's where the muscle clean comes in.
Okay.
So, and the reason why we do these 5 lifts is pretty simple. One, as I watched Robin and Mike argue and almost go to blows with one another over the deadlift and the back squat and which one's more superior, and the battle/fight, I was like, hold on, can I get popcorn? Where's the popcorn? There's boxing gloves over there that came out of nowhere. Where did that steel chair come from? Like, it was like about to be a cage match. But this is a beautiful thing. It's like, deadlift is probably one of the best for testing raw, pure power and strength. Back squat takes that same test and now says, I want to load it on top of you instead of you hold it. And this was the debate Robin and Mike were having, and it was hilarious to watch. I'm like, you're both right, but you both have a favorite lift that you don't want to say is your favorite. So I'm just going to sit here and watch you argue these back and forth, which is fun. And so when we test both of those, we want to see them in comparison to one another. Then we get into the next three. The front squat looks to take the loading that we put on the back and move it to the shoulders and the core more so. So It's where the back squat, we're more loading the spine, quote unquote, or the structure of the body, just because you're putting it on all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. Don't get nervous about that. Because if you get nervous about that, you should never put a backpack on. You should never hold a child. You should...
No piggybacks.
No piggybacks. No, no carry groceries. No blah, 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 blah. Anyway, then we see if you're skipping leg day. And that's where the shoulder press comes in. Because if you're skipping leg day, the shoulder press will be way more close to some of these other lifts.
Yeah. Upper versus lower body.
Or you're not going, you're only doing the lower half. You're not touching the upper half. That's where we see, oh, wow, this is a small percentage of all of these.
Yeah.
And then lastly, we want to test how well you can make this snappy, explosive, and coordinated.
Oh, coordination. My favorite.
Exactly. So if we don't, if you just have strength and no coordination, now we're going to see it in the muscle clean.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this kind of comes into play.
Cool.
So we'll give you in the spreadsheet, I could say it all now, but we'll give you in the spreadsheet how these should correlate and kind of relate to one another. Basically, your deadlifts, your max, and then their percentages off of your deadlift from there.
And it's really cool. If you haven't looked at the spreadsheet, what are you even doing? It's so cool. It actually color codes. Once it's all populated, it'll color code and highlight any holes in your boat, let's say.
And it'll give you that red color only because now this is an area which if we focus on, we can improve.
Yeah.
And it might be, this is where I talked about that front squat cycle earlier. If we figure out that the front squat is way lower than everything else, this goes to my 6 p.m. class specifically. You now get to not listen to Ben when he says go heavier, because now you get to pick this lighter load, you get to work this lighter load, and you'll make more progress with that. Or my favorite private client tells me, why don't we ever use the light dumbbells? And then I tell them, because you don't like doing more than 5 reps.
Yeah.
Then they go, oh yeah, I don't like doing that.
Fair enough.
That much work. So this is where we get to start playing. And now we can make bigger jumps. Everybody remembers when they were a beginner and all of a sudden they were making big, big jumps.
Well, I was just going to say that about plateaus. Like if you find that you have plateaued, these are great ways to find those incremental leaps. And I'm going to challenge you guys when, if you do this and track your progress, you start sharing it with Ben, the programmer, and enough people are sharing the same thing. You might even see a shift in the group class programming that would be to your advantage too. So do share your results. We'd love to hear.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You want to move on?
Yep.
Okay. What's next?
Isolation.
Ooh.
And no, we're not going to lock you in a closet and make you stay alone for a very long time.
No, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's what I say. Yeah. This is the fun isolation. Okay. This is the introvert's paradise.
Mm-hmm.
AKA, we're going to see how a single arm, a single leg, basically a single appendage operates kind of in coordination with the rest of the body, but mostly just how's your right arm work? How does your left arm work?
Yeah.
And vice versa. Okay. So we're going to do a single arm shoulder press. We're going to do a single arm high pull. We're going to do single leg step ups. We're going to do single arm overhead carries, single arm farmer carries. And we're going to do a single leg Romanian deadlift.
Look.
You can tell which one Robin needs to improve on. So what's really cool about this is you have an upper push and upper pull. You have a lower push and a lower pull, and then you have 2 carries.
Mm-hmm.
So you hit basically all of it. In Ben's perfect world, this is all we would do.
Yeah. It's true, and it really does solve so many problems. And keep in mind, this isn't just called the strength test. It's called the strength balance test. So in that first section of compound, we were talking about in relation to your deadlift, how are you balanced across these other movements? Mm-hmm. These other compounds. And this, we'll still get a little bit of that element, but this is your arm to arm, your leg to leg, right? That's really important. I think everybody knows the bigger that delta is, the more at risk you are of problems, performance problems, as well as risks to owies.
Yeah. So if you find that your right leg is massively stronger than your left leg, guess what's going to happen to your left knee?
Yeah.
If you do a bunch of squats on it, it's probably going to break down. Also, this could be why your back squat's not going up anymore.
Yeah, be for real.
Is your right leg can't keep carrying your left leg along. And the same thing with your shoulder press, same thing with your pull-ups. You might find that, oh, wow, I'm only pulling with half of my body. You know, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, wait a minute. If I just do this stuff on this one arm, does all of this other stuff get better? Yes.
For real.
Yes. And this is the crazy part. I don't want your arms to be perfectly matched. I don't need that. We actually want a range there. Mm-hmm. And it's 2 to 3 reps difference. It's similar loading. We want a range there. Because then this actually comes from working with baseball players too. I don't want to take someone's right hand that can throw 95 miles an hour and try and make their left hand throw 95. Their body's going to break in half.
Yeah.
What I want to do is make sure that their left side is strong and supportive to their right side. That way, when they do things outside of throw the baseball 95 miles an hour, they can rely on their left side to let that right side rest. And pretty soon now we see a balance kind of shape up to where they get to let that arm regenerate in the offseason, let it feel better when they're not using it.
Cool.
And that helps all of you who say, oh, my shoulder aches and this and that. It's like, oh, well, this is why. There's a massive difference between these two arms. And now we got a problem. So that's where this starts to point these things out.
Gymnastics.
I need to know how well you work against your body. Or with your body. That might have been a funny Freudian slip. It might have been on purpose. Because some of us can make compound lifts look easy breezy, no problem. But then I tell you to move your body and you're like, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And it's like, we have an area of opportunity
now. I mean, I would rather do reps at 200 on the deadlift than do a single strict dip. If we're talking about personal preference here. And I think I know why. I think we all know why. But yeah, that's for sure, for real.
Well, and so that's the cool part is this is where say Robin wants to get her first pull-up. We can start to look at this and go, oh, wow, Robin, you can't do a strict pull-up, but you got a strict dip. So maybe instead of forcing her to just train strict pull-ups, we have her start training strict dips. Which, if you didn't know, can be the secret sauce to getting pull-ups for the first time.
I mean, that's pretty exciting.
So you don't have to beat your head over the bar, literally, trying to work pull-up stuff, trying to work pull-up stuff and wear your arms out. You can now do it in a different pattern with a push. Because strength is strength. So if you make your arms stronger pushing, most likely your arms are also going to be stronger pulling.
Yep.
There's a balance there, and you see that more in the isolation piece, but it does translate into the gymnastics piece.
Yeah.
So before I got ahead of myself, the three things we want to see there. We're going to test your strict dip on a solid surface, so a stable surface, your strict pull-up, and your supinated grip chest-to-bar pull-up. So basically what this does is show us how well you can push against your body, how well you can pull your body up, and then how well you can pull in a greater range of motion.
And supinated just means your palms are facing you, mm-hmm. as opposed to the traditional grip for a pull-up where your palms are facing mm-hmm. away from you.
Basically, if you do this with me now, cup your hands like you're holding or asking for soup. That's supinated. And then if you're a pro, you can hold soup with your palms facing down.
If you're a pro, you can hold soup with your face. Okay, got it.
My teenagers know this joke way too well.
Oh, dear. All right.
Because I think every week when we do pull-ups, or every other week when we do pull-ups, they ask me, wait, which one's which? So.
And I want to be really clear. Everyone can test these. We can use modifications. We can use bands. There are ways for everyone to do these movements, mm-hmm. even if you don't have an unassisted version. Mm-hmm. It'll just help you. Assist.
It will throw things off on the spreadsheet, but I can work with you from there. This is where it goes. You got to go a little bit beyond some of these things, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of the magic point here. Also, what you'll start to realize is, wow, I don't have any strict pull-ups. And the moment you start to get 1, 2, 3 strict pull-ups, you'll notice your deadlift goes up. You'll notice your front squat goes up. And it's not because you've been deadlifting and front squatting. It will be literally because now you created an upper body strength that now you can stabilize against the loads that you couldn't stabilize against before.
Yep.
So if your back hurts when deadlifting, you might need more pull-ups.
Yes.
And it sounds weird and crazy, but when you start to actually look at it and I show you in the gym, you go, oh, this makes sense.
Yeah.
So, all right.
All right. And then my favorite, the muscular endurance. I actually like this test. I know it's weird, but I think it's really interesting. We don't typically do this, so it's kind of a fun new thing to do in the gym.
Well, this is where I get to show people that what they think they're not good at, they're actually good at.
Okay.
And the way I talk about this is I myself will never run a sub 3 hour marathon. And it's not because I
can't. Not with that attitude.
Yes. Yes, you're right, Robin. Not with that attitude. It's not that I can't run 26 miles.
Right.
At this current juncture in my life, I can't run a 5 minute mile.
Right.
So to run a sub 3 hour marathon, I believe it's a 5-ish minute mile. Someone correct me, call me out on the internet.
I can't do time whatever. Math, so someone
has to do that. But if you think about that really quickly, all of a sudden you go, oh, wait a minute. So it's not the fact that I can do this load for a long amount of time. It's the fact that I'm not overall strong enough. So when Ben puts a weight on the board and I feel like I'm dying in the middle of the workout, it's not because of my endurance or my capacity. It's because I'm not overall strong enough.
Okay, so explain this test.
So what you do is you take 50% of your one rep max. And this can be your lifetime one rep max. This can be a guesstimate based on what you've been testing in the rep maxes. This can be anything like that. This can be, I think one day I saw that weight and I'm going to do that weight. You take 50% of it.
Okay.
Okay. Then you do 20 repetitions of it.
Of what movement?
Oh, let's talk to movements. Back squat, shoulder press, deadlift, front squat. And then this is a little different. It doesn't match
the outlier.
The outlier, max meter reverse sled drag. So, so what happens here is now we get to see, is it the absolute strength that's the issue, or is it your ability to breathe and cycle repetitions that's the issue?
So take back squat as an example.
Mm-hmm. So let's say your max back squat is 300 pounds.
Okay.
So you're going to take 150. You're going to do it for 20 reps. And yes, you can take breaks. You can put the bar back in the rack. You get 90 seconds to do this.
You get a minute and a half to do 20 reps mm-hmm. at 50%. Got it.
The moment you complete your 20 reps, you're going to count the number of breaths you take. So as Robin just took a deep breath there, that would be one. And from there, that gives us a report on how well you can function. And I think for a large majority of us, and this is mainly because we're CrossFitters and we do the CrossFit type stuff, what we find is this is not actually the problem area.
Yeah.
There's a few and it's like, oh, okay. And they catch themselves and they realize, oh yeah, I'm just not.
I've been coming very much mm-hmm. or I was just sick or on vacation. That's usually what happens mm-hmm. when these numbers turn red on the spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then the fun part becomes, well, Ben, why am I not able to do X in the workout? And I go, well, it's because when I program X, Y, and Z, X in the workout is now 80% of your one rep instead of 50% yeah. of your one rep. And now you're just at a whole different level of capacity.
Right.
So if we start to move that one rep up, your 50% number goes up as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's like, oh.
Now you're closer to those RX weights is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Like a Grace or an Isabel.
Well, take Jackie yesterday. One client, she was like, no, Ben, I have to go heavier. I have to go heavier. And I was like, no, you don't. You tell me all the time you need the lighter weight. Why today are you fighting me on the heavier weight? And then at the end of the workout, she goes, but see, Ben, I finished. And I was like, yes, but here's the target I wanted you to have. And she was like, oh, I didn't move that fast. I was like, yeah, you needed to take a minute and a half off your time.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because, if you know Jackie, it's rowing, thrusters, and pull-ups. It wasn't because of the pull-ups and it wasn't because of the rowing. There were some pauses and breaks in those 50 thrusters. And I'm like, you see the problem here? And they were like, oh. And so this is the cool part, is now the next time we test Jackie, they can go back and go, all right, I know what I did last time. I finished in this time. I'm going to do the exact same thing and see if I can beat that time.
Yeah.
And that's where the magic starts to happen. And that's where the improvement starts to happen.
Well, this used to happen a lot more when we used RX weights or tier 1, 2, and 3, those weights. Mm-hmm. And people would get just very angry at the weights. They're like, this is unrealistic. Who are these made for? It's like, instead of going, maybe I'm just not strong enough. You know what I mean? Like this is another thing about testing. It's very not personal, right? It's very objective. So, you know, it might be you're just not that strong and you need to be stronger if you want to do this certain level of CrossFit, right? Anyone could do any of this and stay super fit. Like, you're fine. No matter what your test says, it doesn't make you a good or a bad person. But it is a little bit of a reality check. Like, you do it to be able to say, well, you know, maybe you should just get stronger. It's like, yeah, that would take a lot of work. But yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah.
And then you decide, do I want to put the work in to get stronger so I can do these things I say I want to do?
And that's always the funny thing to me when I'm briefing, I get the responses of like, what? That's a crazy thing. And I'm like, yeah, for you.
Yeah.
But let me turn to this person over here. And they're like, no, no problem.
Yeah. And it is frustrating, but it's also almost always the answer in here is get stronger, which is everybody can do. That's the good news.
Yeah.
Everyone in the gym can get stronger. There's really no ceiling to it, right? And it's a safe and healthy way to spend your time in the gym. Obviously, there's other things we want to do, but we're talking about strength.
Well, and get stronger can also correlate to get stronger versus your body weight.
Yeah.
Like that's a pull-up. Getting a pull-up is getting stronger. And that's where people are like, huh? Wait, I don't have to improve the numbers on my deadlift to get stronger? Maybe not.
Yeah.
You could just need to do more pull-up work, that type of stuff, push-ups and things like that.
Well, I'll go back to the word balance. Like, mm-hmm. If your deadlift is huge and you don't have a pull-up, that's an imbalance in mm-hmm. your overall strength. So, you know, maybe spend a little less time deadlifting or just maintain your deadlift and work on your gymnastics a little more. Mm-hmm. And if your goals are to do well in things like Dusk Till Dawn and the Open, this is where you start. This is one of the reasons we do strength balance testing right after the Open. Is so you have a plan, you can make a plan for the rest of the year. Yep. And if you look at these numbers and you fix your reds, maybe make them yellow, you're going to do better at the Open next year.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's pretty exciting.
And then you can be the other person. The person who's like, I'm not going to show up to Dusk Till Dawn, Ben. I'm not going to come to the Open, but my back hurts all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
And it's like, well, part of that is this imbalance right here. This red chunk right here, where you have this higher than body weight deadlift, but you don't have a pull up. Boom. That's why your back hurts when you deadlift, because you can't hold that weight. And we see it when I tell you to do a pull up.
Yeah.
And so that's where you go, oh, so if I just got a pull up, my back wouldn't hurt when I deadlift? I'm like, it might.
I mean, it won't hurt.
It'll help you stabilize your upper back. It will help you brace better. It will help you have better control when you hold onto the barbell.
Well, you just brought up a really good point, because none of this stuff matters if you're in constant pain or mm-hmm. if you're in fear of pain. Mm-hmm. I just talked to someone about that today. You know, if you don't have that confidence because you're afraid of injury, it's going to be really hard to push into a place where you get to adapt and get better and mm-hmm. get stronger. I'll tell my story. When I first met Ben, actually, it was more like when we started spending every freaking day together over COVID, and I couldn't help but listen. And my right shoulder was constantly in pain and just couldn't do. There was a list of double digit list of things I couldn't do in the gym. And Ben was like, yeah, you can. You just got to do the things. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I can't, you know, and then I can't, or it'll hurt, or I can't, or it'll get re-injured. And I was in this cycle of just fear. And over time, it wasn't like, oh, you have to do all these intricate banded crap, like this and that and the stuff. I'm like, I can't do this. I don't even know what direction I'm pulling. You know, he's like, just hold this thing over your head and carry it. I'm like, oh, I can do that. I got to tell you, it wasn't just that, but doing overhead carries over and over and over every week, twice a week, whatever we did, it's gone. That like fear and that. So, you know, obviously I still have this injury that I have to deal with forever. But oh my gosh, just not having that pain and getting, and then, oh, maybe I can try a dip and maybe I can try an overhead squat and maybe I can try this. It's been really cool. So thank you, Ben.
You're welcome. And that is also why I push this so hard, is because in my opinion, most of us, I'm going to say 95 or greater percentage of us, we're not going to do the little annoying, silly things outside of the gym that we need to do. It's hard. And that's why I say that. Like, everyone is freaking busy. Everyone has too much to do. Everyone needs more fun in their life. Everyone needs to find something else that they love and enjoy and can do. And that's why, like the example with Robin, I'm like, she's not going to do all these other silly, like intricate rehab exercises and things like that. She just wants to come to the gym and lift weights because that's what makes her happy. Well, why don't we lift weights in a way that fixes the problem? And when you, I'll say, trick someone into that, all of a sudden they're like, wait, I'm out of pain. Wait, this lift is now stronger. Wait, these things are now clicking. It's like, yeah, that's actually the next step in the rehab process. When you clear physical therapy, it's like, okay, now how do I get back to performing the way I want to? Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of it. And for most of you, we have those markers. You can tell me what your deadlift is. You can tell me what your best squat is. You can tell me how fast you've ran a mile in your life. You can tell me some of these pieces and parts, and I can start to go, okay, these are your performance metrics. Let's see how close we can get back to them post-injury. And that's when you start feeling better. And that's when you start wanting to go to the gym more. That's when the gym becomes more of a happy place for you and all of that. The side also of that is, for those of you who are like, I don't care about the open, I don't have aches and pains, I just need the gym to be my distraction. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? If you feel good in the gym, you're going to be far more distracted.
Yeah.
Also, if we can find ways to challenge you with simpler movements and simpler loads, you're going to be more distracted. You're going to get out of your head. And the side effect of that too is I'm not going to stress you as much. Like, people talk to us all the time. They're like, Ben, we deadlifted yesterday and I went home and I had to take a nap. Or, Ben, we deadlifted yesterday and I went home and I ate all the things.
Oh, yeah, same.
And it's like, great. That just shows you deadlifts can be kind of stressing and you had to cope with that stress. That's a load on your central nervous system. That's a load on your energy capacity. What's awesome there is now I say, well, we're going to do a single leg variation of that. And while you're like Robin cursing me under your breath and trying to take weird, awkward videos of... whatever angle that is.
It's not a great angle.
All of a sudden now you're like, wait a minute. I don't feel as tired. I don't feel as like taxed. I can go talk to my significant other and not be grumpy. I feel better in my head. My body is actually feeling better because weirdly now my left side doesn't hurt. What's going on? It's like, yeah, we finally gave you the right exercise for the load that you could handle in the day. And that's where this is magical, because now we can start to get into, oh, this is where the loading goes wrong for you. It's that conversation I had around the front rack. It's like, no, you just need to hold the front rack properly. And I bet you'll get stronger and your shoulders will feel better.
Yeah, it was interesting coaching that, because in every class, I was very clear, like, in this movement, it's not necessarily, even though it's a squat, it's not necessarily about your legs. And I remember learning that about front squat. Well, how come I don't feel, I need to add more weight because I don't feel my legs working. Well, you know, it was that front rack was dropping. Mm-hmm. My lats were gone. My chest was dumping forward because my core was gone. It's not about the legs. It's about wherever the weak spot in the chain is.
You start to figure out where your skill with squatting may be breaking down.
Mm.
And your ability to maintain a squat pattern that keeps you upright and keeps you moving the load with your legs through your shoulders and your core.
So that was one case study, right? So let's do a couple of those.
Mm-hmm.
So in the compound movements, right? Mm-hmm. So you said based on your deadlift, what was one of the ones? Is it Well, we said don't skip leg day. That was a pretty easy one. But talk about the front squat to back squat ratio.
Oh boy,
what? You don't have to say what it is, but what if they're the same? What does that signify?
Congratulations. You're a great front squatter.
Got it.
Now, here's the problem. Either, and I've seen this in a couple clients, either when we put the load on your back, you no longer can properly squat, which is very common for beginners.
Mm-hmm.
It's why some people get annoyed with me when they come out of intros and they go, Ben, you never let me back squat. And I went, yeah, because we struggled with goblet squats and front squats. And I wanted your squat to be better. So first thing we have to do is make sure that we have the right technique and pattern for the back squat. This next thing we have to do is go, all right, cool. Now we have to train back squats properly to increase the load that we can handle. Also, it might be between your ears.
Mm-hmm.
So this might be your central nervous system doesn't want to operate well enough in the gym. Or you come to the gym and are so stressed out from everything else in life, we can't push it on a back squat because you're already too stressed to handle that. Which is okay. But now we know it's like, oh, this is why I'm better at this than I am at that. And that's where we now can kind of like play around with this and maybe go, hey, you know, maybe you do just need to sleep a little bit more and skip 6 a.m. for the fifth day in a row.
Yeah.
Get that extra hour of sleep today. You know, stuff like that. And it's little tweaks, and it's not a bad thing. I would actually argue this is cool because now you can go, oh, wait a minute. If I focus more over here, this all will get better. And that's where, like, if you make your back squat better, all of a sudden now your front squat's going to go up too. We see this actually in Olympic lifters a lot of times. They'll get to a point where I've seen it where if their squat goes up a kilo or two, their clean goes up a kilo or two.
Yeah.
Because they know how well they can clean.
Yeah.
And their skills and their talents there are really, really good. So now they just need more absolute strength, which is fun.
Yeah, for sure. Any other glaring? I mean, obviously, if one arm is not carrying the as much as the other arm, you have a deficit.
Let's go legs.
Okay, let's go legs.
So we see this a lot where someone will complain of back pain when squatting,
mm-hmm.
or knee pain when squatting. If we have a leg that is half as strong, or even three quarters as strong as another leg, you're basically dragging that leg through the mud every time you do a squat on both feet.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you do a back squat and your right leg is half as strong as your left leg, your right leg is getting dragged through the mud pretty roughly. So if it's always hurting you, it might be because it can't keep up. Or vice versa, it's hurting you because it's the stronger one and it's doing all the work.
Yeah.
And now you're in big trouble. So this is where if we can start to balance that and just get them closer to one another, they don't have to be perfectly aligned, but just get them within two or three reps of another at one load. All of a sudden now, instead of pushing with just one leg in your back squat, you're getting to push with two.
So what would you give that client? You would give them some more single leg.
So what I would do is I'd say if the strength portion says back squat for the next couple months, I want you to front rack, step up, lunge, or split squat.
Cool.
And that's their mod now. And they go, oh, okay, perfect. Also, this might be the person who is stressed beyond belief. And they're like, I can't. Cool. If I hand you a 50-pound dumbbell and say split squat it, it's gonna feel maybe just as stressing as the 150-pound back squat for you. Cool. Now, very quickly, we got to a load that stressed you and we didn't stress you out in the day. So now you leave the gym feeling better. Your body is changing and adapting better, and you can recover from that stimulus better. So overall, everything's better.
Yeah.
Which usually I think that's what we work on in the gym.
That's kind of what we want.
And so very quickly, we're out of the back pain because now both legs are operating properly. Both hips are operating properly. So now both knees are operating properly. Boom, 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 boom. All of a sudden it's like, whoa, wait a minute here. And that's the magic of this is when we start to correct these areas, all of a sudden We feel way better.
Yeah.
Now, what if we fail the endurance test? Like we do 50% of our deadlift and we only get 16 reps and we have like 10 breaths. You get to stop just coming on the strength days. You need to come on the days when it's a 30-minute AMRAP.
You need more conditioning. Yeah.
Yeah. And you need to play with that and you need to work that. We see a lot of power lifters when they get out of their meet cycle and they go into like a little bit of what we call an off season, they will do a bunch of just, we call it just work.
Yeah.
Where it's like sled pushes, farmer carries. It looks a little bit like weird CrossFit because all they're doing is high volumes. They're doing a lot of EMOMs. They're doing a lot of stuff where it's like, are you doing CrossFit? I'm not telling us. And it's not, but it's like, oh yeah, they're doing a lot of just work stuff. And then they go back to their strength cycles and now they can get through sessions better because mm-hmm. they have better capacity and they recover from set to set better.
Well, remember the origin story of Fran. Mm-hmm. It was so a gymnastics ring sesh.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call it? Not performance.
Routine.
Routine. Thank you. wouldn't leave you so out of breath that it showed because mm-hmm. you're not supposed to show. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be really calm and smiley and happy at the mm-hmm. end. So that's why Fran was developed to kind of get that work done and get comfortable in that uncomfortable place.
At one, a load that wasn't as challenging, aka for this person, they could do a whole ring routine. So 45 pull-ups is nothing for them.
Right.
And they use their legs all the time, but don't have to in the ring. So now this is another way to tax and strengthen them.
Yeah.
So this is what's cool. This is why we do CrossFit, is because now I don't have to do the hardest thing to get better at it. And I can now do something a little bit easier and train that and get better at it.
Yeah.
It was the conversation. I actually had it with a coach last night. They were trying to pick the load they should do in the workout. And they're kind of like, oh, but I could do this and I could do this. And I go, hit the stimulus today. Hit a target time between this. And they were like, okay, I'm going to take this off. I'm going to do this. I'm going to row this much instead. And I'm going to make the pull-ups this easy. I'm like, perfect. And they were like, Ben, why did you hurt my fitness feeling so much?
Mm-hmm.
Because they worked so much harder having gone a little bit lighter, a little bit less. And now they're like, oh, now I see how I'm going to get better in doing all this. And so that's what's so cool about the strength balance testing is it gives you the opportunities to improve where you never thought you could.
All right. We only have a couple minutes, but mm-hmm. I do want to hit this. How can you be successful during this test cycle? Number one, show up as much as you can to do these tests.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't show up, make an appointment and we will do a one-on-one with you.
Mm-hmm.
Second, I want to say to get the most out of this, you really have to put as much as you can into it. So when it says build to a heavy five, it needs to be heavy. Like I'm uncomfortable heavy. Right. If you're doing a farmer carry, try the really hard weight, even though you're like, there's no way I can do that. Try it. This is the time to try really hard because then your numbers will mean more. They'll be more accurate. So I'm not saying to push past or overreach, but front rack step ups, not fun, uncomfortable, but you got to go for it. Right. In the test, mm-hmm. there'll be plenty of time to warm up and practice and all that. And then just really go for it.
At the same time, if you go heavier, you will not suffer as much.
That's true. Yeah.
I said it, I don't know how many times last night, but I got lucky. My class listened and nobody did more than 10 reps.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you see how that's not as bad as doing 15 reps and suffering through it?
Or saying, oh, I did 5 or 6 and putting it back in the rack, even though you had a couple more in the tank, because it would have been uncomfortable. Take the hit this one time. Like really just, and learn what heavy really means. It's going to help your lifting overall.
And that's why we do it in a rep max, is because now it shows people, oh, wow, every time I thought I could do this little weight for only 5, I can actually do it for 15.
Yeah.
So when Ben says this, I have to go a little heavier now.
Yeah.
He's not just this crazy person talking to me.
So show up, try hard, and record your results is number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Record your results. If you don't like the spreadsheet we gave you, just write it down on a piece of paper or in your notes, in SugarWad, whatever you want to do. Have these numbers to look back on or for your next private training check-in. Because will help you use them for the good, for your own good. Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
That's simple. It's, yeah, I don't even need to repeat it. Show up, do the work, and write it down.
Got it.
And you'll feel fantastic.
Happy strength balance testing season, everybody.
All righty. Bye for now.
Bye.